All right. Good morning, everybody. And here we are. We're live the 22nd of January. There's a new sheriff in town in America.
It's tremendous. It's great. It's going to be amazing. We're going to land on Mars. We're going to plant the stars and stripes.
And there are only two genders. What kind of a world are we living in where the president has to sign an executive order to establish a biological fact that there are two genders? That would be like me saying, I need to make an executive order to make sure that people understand that coffee is a liquid. That's what that is. That's how dumb that is. Anyway, we've got lots to go to today and very little politics. We'll throw a little bit in. But I'm glad to have in the studio, and we're trying to do this from time to time, and it's really fun to actually meet the people behind the comments, because we have one of the most lively comment sections. In fact, I don't know that there's any show in South Africa that has the kind of engagement and regularity of our comment section. I mean, it's like I always hesitate to use the word fan because I really hate the word, but this is bread that was baked by someone who listens to the show and who's a regular in the comment section. He is none other than Bitcoin Boot. Francois, how are you?
Good,
man. It's nice to have you here.
It's a lot of fun.
And you don't mind waking up early because you actually bake this bread first thing in the morning.
3 o'clock in the morning, I wake up, I start my fire. And if I'm lucky, I get to have my first bread in at 4. But unfortunately, I can only bake two breads at a time.
So you bake it in a pizza oven?
It's not a pizza oven. It's just we bought a house and I just turned my braai, put a steel plate over there, covered with a few bricks that Bob's
yarn. So you made this all yourself, and you do it to sell or?
To sell. I sell. Usually I bake Monday, Wednesday, Friday. That's why I'm so
awake. And how many breads?
In a busy week, I'll do about 50 to 60.
Shit, yeah, man.
That's only happened a few
times. How long does it take you to do that many? I mean, in a day, how long are you in front of that fire?
So usually it's about 40 minutes on a bread, if I'm lucky.
40 minutes?
40 minutes, yeah. So I can only fit two inside there, so I have to take my pots out and then put them back in for a few minutes to brown. So 30 minutes in the pot, few minutes to brown. So the other day on Thursday, I changed up my schedule a bit, and I started baking at 8 o'clock in the morning. I had 30 breads. I was done 8 o'clock at night.
Oh, my God. So you have to start super early.
I have to start super early, yeah.
Now, I'm going to get into some of the nitty-gritty around this, because I believe there's a whole universe in bread that I don't understand, and you have to be a proper expert to be able to get this stuff right. I know that you have to get the heat of the oven exactly right. I know that you have to get the mix of the ingredients proper. I've also heard that most South African bread tastes the same because we all buy our flour from the same place.
Yes.
So basically, there's one factory or one company that makes all the yeast.
No, well, not really, because December I was very busy, and I go through like 50 kgs of flour a month.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very busy, and I didn't expect to be that busy. So I only bought 50 kgs, and I thought I'll have a little bit of bread left over for Jan, the start of Jan. Didn't work out that way, so I went to go get some, if I can say, regular people flour.
Not your fancy stuff.
Yeah, it's not stone ground flour. It's not fine. And my bread was so dense, I had to say sorry to a few people and then.
Okay, so you actually can tell immediately after you've baked that first bread what the difference is.
Mm, yeah, no, I feel it with my hand.
So you usually buy the stone ground flour.
Yeah, best flour I've tried, Eureka Mills.
Okay,
they're premium flour.
And do you add other stuff?
This is only flour, water, salt, and then my sourdough starter, which is
cool.
A yeast pot.
That is so cool. I who doesn't love good bread, right? Mm. But the smell of it first thing in the morning must be a hell of a way to wake up. That's so nice.
The problem with when you're a chef, you get used to the smells. So it just passes you.
Right.
Yeah, but I know what you're talking about.
And you told me, this guy's got an interesting story. I suppose everybody has when you get to know us. But you were on cruise ships as a chef for a while, which is fascinating. You also worked in Colorado in mm-hmm. in the US. So how are you feeling about the Trump presidency's first day? And I don't know, a whole bunch of executive orders signed. He's basically one of them, which I loved. I don't know if you saw this, but if you were paying real attention, one of the things that Trump did is he signed an executive order to beautify federal buildings. Now, you know, this is a big bugbear of mine. I am just a massive opponent of modern architecture. When I see all this glass and chrome and all these fucking hideous utilitarian buildings that they put up everywhere.
It's not attractive.
No, it saddens the hell out of me. I mean, you could see even with the minimum amount of coverage that they gave outdoors, because it was such a cold day for the inauguration. I think that's one of the reasons they moved it inside. There are a number of others. We could talk about those too. But you see some of those really beautiful buildings, the Capitol, the Supreme Court, the White House. You know, these are buildings that were designed to inspire people, designed to make people stand in awe.
Uplift.
Yeah, and even the room in which he was sworn in, the rotunda, which is under the dome of the Capitol. You know, it's a beautiful building. We just don't build things like that anymore. If you consider the most famous buildings of the last 50 years, I don't think anyone has built anything like that out of stone with attention to detail, mm-mm. with classical architectural guidelines. I don't think anything like that's being built anymore. So my favorite one of his executive orders is probably one that nobody else noticed, but it was to make everything beautiful again, not just great again, but he wants to make federal architecture something that makes people go, oh, rather than makes them go, is that where the president works? You know,
just to uplift the spirits, right. I think, because you don't want, like, if you look at a square black building, no emotions.
No emotions
whatsoever. I wrote down a few of my favorite mm-hmm. ones. He actually retracted 78 of Biden's executive orders.
Yeah, of course, Biden doesn't know that. Biden is still... Biden actually pitched for work today.
I think Biden was so happy to get on that last plane ride.
I was so happy.
He's going to go practice on his bicycle rides.
Listen, people always say to me, why are you so into American politics? And in this case, I really am. And the more I see of Trump and the more I hear about what's going on over there, the more depressed I am about the state of our government. Mm. You know, it's just for America, they're able to, of course, it took a couple of elections and it took some serious freedom of speech issues. Some censorship, lawfare, the weaponization of the justice system, and a ton of other things before they could actually get this guy in for the second term. Mm. And now I think he means business.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're so far behind. And one of the things he's also done, which relates to us in South Africa, so don't ever say that these things don't affect you. So apparently they put a pause on all aid, all foreign aid, mm-hmm. everything. They're going to put it off for 90 days until they've figured out who aligns with their strategic objectives, which makes sense. Mm-hmm. What country in the world, and there are a lot of people who are crying and wailing, mostly communists who are getting free money from the United States. What kind of country takes their taxpayers' money, harvests that tax from people against their will, and then deploys it in places where those people have no economic, social, cultural, or political gain? Mm-hmm. You'd have to be an idiot to do that. And frankly, I think that a lot of people have been idiots who've been signing off other people's money to go to places that they don't really care about. So there's been a lot of noise made of the WHO. They've exited the World Health Organization, yes. which of course was disgraced. They disgraced themselves, the World Health Organization, during COVID. I posted a thing yesterday. One of Biden's parting shots was that he gave preemptive and full blanket pardons to hundreds of people in his final hours in the White House. And among those people was Anthony Fauci.
Yes.
And some really, really crooked people. There were some people who were on life sentences for murder, multiple rapes, child molestation, a rogues gallery of people. Biden just put up that graph of the number of pardons by American presidents. Next time anybody says to you, Trump's a threat to democracy, just look at this quickly.
Yes.
These are presidential pardons, right? From Ronald Reagan, he gave 500. George H.W. Bush gave the least, so power to him. Bill Clinton gave about the same number as Reagan, a few more. There were some controversial ones in there because he pardoned some of his mates. George W. Bush, significantly fewer. Then you see Barack Obama suddenly get all the way up to almost 2,000 pardons during his presidency.
Yeah.
It's a lot, but hold your breath because Donald Trump came next, about the same number as George W. Bush. Not too many. And again, I remember the mainstream media wailing and gnashing their teeth at the end of Trump's term last time in 2021. And they were saying, oh, no, he can't forgive all these people. And then you look at Joe Biden, all right? During a four-year term, bear in mind, Barack Obama had two terms. Bill Clinton had two terms. And so did George W. Bush, I think.
Some say Barack Obama third term.
Well, exactly. Yeah. But look at Biden. Upwards of 8,000 pardons.
The most sly one I saw was his last one. Was like 20 minutes before everything was over for him.
Yeah.
Was like five of his family members for the last 10 years.
There we go. Great guy, right?
Ish.
So when people talk about corruption, that is corruption pure and simple. There's just no way you can paint that to look anything like the pig that it is.
If you take who Biden pardoned and now who Trump is pardoning, even before he pardoned people that was
they were in the January 6th.
I'm talking about his previous people who were locked up for misdemeanor marijuana use, for example.
Right.
They
that
got
was
pardoned.
When he got Kim Kardashian into the
yes.
Oval Office.
Yes. Yeah. And then now he pardoned the January 6th, like he calls them hostages, or peaceful protesters, if you want. And then just today, I think he pardoned someone called Ross Ulbricht. This guy got two life sentences plus 40 years for setting up a platform on the dark web to buy anything. And then Bitcoin is involved there. We'll talk about that a bit later. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you are Bitcoin, but
yes,
so we have to. We have to get into that.
Can't skip that.
So here are a couple of comments for you before we get too much into the politics. So there's somebody here. Sweet Pea says sourdough is great.
Uh-huh. It's very good for gut health. If you care about your gut health, I'd say switch over to sourdough. It might be a little bit more expensive, but trust me. Yeah. It's
Now you bake your own, but most stuff that we would buy from the shops, how does your process differ to theirs? And how old is their bread on their shelves when you get to
I don't even want to know. Like my,
because they freeze them and all kinds of things, right?
Yes, but also you need to think, how long does it sit in the box in the back of a truck or in the back of a warehouse?
Yeah, exactly.
And to be like,
when did you make this one?
That was on, you caught me on a very bad time.
No.
Next baking day is on Friday. But this was last week, Thursday.
Yeah. Okay, and it's still soft as can
it's
be.
It's still
on the
soft,
top
yeah. I froze it.
Beautiful.
I froze it. I put it whole. I didn't slice it yet. I put it whole in the freezer. So it lost. This freezes very well. Just some people put their bread in the microwave. I like
rather
to
put it in the oven.
Yeah, rather put it in the oven.
Oh.
I like to crisp it up with some butter or like in a pan.
Beautiful.
Yeah, but the best is when it's fresh, fresh, fresh. The crust is so crispy.
Mm. I love it. Mm. I love it, dude. Mm. So there are people here saying, Mr. Bitcoin's there. Lovely to see the face behind the name.
Nice.
Does Bitcoin Boy own any Bitcoin?
Well,
let's get into it.
Well, never tell someone how much Bitcoin you own.
Yeah. But you started early.
I started buying cryptocurrency in 2017.
Okay, it's quite late down the track. Yeah,
it's late, but you are never too late if you look at where it's going.
I spoke to a friend of mine over the Christmas period who's a big crypto fan. In fact, his job, his life, everything is around crypto, and he's obviously had a pretty good last 6 months. He's very pleased with how things are gone. He said to me, buy now.
Is he Bitcoin only or is he
cryptocurrency? No, he owns a whole lot of different cryptocurrencies.
Be careful for that. Be careful with that.
No, he knows what he's doing. I don't.
It's with that you want to trade. The main goal in the end is to acquire more Bitcoin. Everything is going down in value.
Agreed.
When you measure it in Bitcoin terms. Everything loses value.
Everything else.
Everything. When I say everything,
You mean normal fiat currency, everything.
Houses, gold,
right.
Cars. Like to give you an example, in 2014, the average price of a house was around 50 bitcoins. In 2018, 2020. The average house the average price of a house was like 6.6 Bitcoin. Then in 2023, it was 4.5 Bitcoin, and currently I think it's like 3 something wow. Bitcoin. Yes.
So eventually you're going to be able to buy a whole house for 1 Bitcoin.
Not even 1 Bitcoin, 0.01 no. Bitcoin.
So it's never too late. Basically.
It's never too late because
and there are all kinds of discussions now about how, you know, governments and big corporations are buying Bitcoin as a kind of hedge against inflation and currency depreciation and all that kind of thing. So I've been a fan for a long time, but I honestly gave up a while ago in terms of actual continued investment. I've still got some. Mm-hmm. But I think it's interesting also to look at what happened here with these meme coins that they launched over the weekend. Because
about Trump and Melania.
Yeah, if we're going to talk about how corrupt the Democrats are, I'm always happy to. And we should also talk about what bullshit these meme coins are. Mm-hmm. And I know that there are lots of stupid people who just want to do something for the fun of it. Maybe they just enjoy wasting money, throwing it around. Maybe they want to say to their friends they've got one. But if you're buying a Melania Trump meme coin, yes. I mean, you don't expect that to go up in value.
You deserve to lose your money.
I think so.
I'm sorry to say that, but you do.
I do think it's kind of a little predatory that the Trumps would do something like this.
Usually,
I don't want to defend him on this one. I think it's dumb.
The only way I can defend them, not that I want to, but the only way I can is they don't know the market. They're not that familiar with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm in there since 2017. But
there's no difference between them doing this and the Hawk Tour girl.
Exactly. You know? That's what I was going to say. Like, there's someone behind the project.
And by the way, they've made no money off of it. It seems like it's been a bit of a disaster.
Well, obviously, people bought in and shot the price up. And then, like, you must understand, there's like 70. I think the Trump coin was 70% liquidity was owned by insiders. And then with the Melania coin, 80% of the liquidity, the coins, was owned by a single entity.
Then it's no different to a pyramid scheme.
No, it is a pyramid scheme.
So that's what it is.
So you can't defend someone on that. But it's a fast money grab, and I don't know how it will be defended. We're still waiting
for
this.
So where do you go for info on this? Because there's so many people who profess to be experts in cryptocurrency. And I mean, I've spoken to probably all of the people in South Africa and even some international ones over the years, over the last 10 years, who I consider to be quite smart, who definitely have not led me astray when it comes to the information that I needed about how blockchain works, how Bitcoin is administered and managed and how you buy in and what you get out and kind of why things are at the moment at the heady levels that they are. But there has to be, well, there have to be, because ultimately this is a decentralized system. So there isn't anyone in charge, but there have to be people who you go, that guy, when he talks about it, he seems to know what he's talking about. He seems to have a very good comprehensive view of this, because it's like, you know, talking to people about health and you meet one guy who looks like he knows what he's doing, but his eating's up to shit, and then he trains once a week, and he's just got a good metabolism. Mm-hmm. And he won't give you the same good information and advice that the guy who goes 3 times a week and is very careful about his eating might give you.
I'd say just with Bitcoin, just go do your homework. Like, there's a saying in the Bitcoin world where we say, you need to spend at least 1,000 hours to understand this. Yes, you can.
1,000 hours actually researching.
Yes, doing research,
podcasts and watching videos. And
yes.
Yeah, I suppose that's why I'm.
It's not.
Yeah, that's why I'm not a Bitcoin billionaire.
The way I got into this market is after I got off the cruise ships, obviously I had some money, got paid in dollars, no tax, all that stuff. So I asked my father, what do I do with this? And he's like, I got 24. I don't know. Fucking, I'm sitting with 200K in my bank. What do I do with this?
That's great.
So he's like, okay, just take it to Standard Bank. Just put like 60,000 in the savings account and let it sit there for 6 months and see what happens. So, okay, I did it. Yeah. I got back like, I can't even remember if it's 3,000 Rand or 6,000 Rand. And I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? Like, why?
No, nothing's happening.
No.
No.
And then I started.
You see such piss-piddly returns,
yes,
right?
And then I obviously by that time I knew about cryptocurrency, but I didn't know what Bitcoin is. So I started buying. You've heard of Ethereum?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay. So I've bought some Ethereum. I bought some Bitcoin. I sold and I bought and but then now, I had I sent Bitcoin to some scams, mining scams on Telegram where they would say, "Give me one Bitcoin, I'll give you two Bitcoin back in a week" or something like that. Like you don't understand the market.
And then you've lost money.
In today's value.
Yeah.
I lost around 300K.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Man. Doesn't that break your... Oh, man, that would break my spirit. I'd be furious.
I still go and I look back at some bad purchases that I made.
No, I mean, property. Everybody makes a bad decision here or there. I was joking on the show, you know, because you're a regular in the comments section and you listen. Don't take my investment. In fact, don't take anyone's investment advice. You have to work this shit out on your own. And you have to understand what's going on. There is no such thing as a get-rich-quick scheme. Mm-hmm. It's a scheme. It's never going to deliver the results.
The best advice I can give someone in this space, because I'm not a financial advisor,
right, of course.
I went to go do my homework. So I understand what I'm in for. I'm 100% Bitcoin. Well, okay, well, 99.8% because I still have to have some funds for my little business that I'm running.
Yeah, your bakery and everything else.
But I'm saving my money in Bitcoin. So all you need to do is put your money in Bitcoin and then start learning what it is. Learn how to store it. Because if you're going to store it on an exchange, it's not your Bitcoin. The exchange is holding your keys. You understand the keys, the 12 or 24 words?
Absolutely.
They hold that. So it's not really yours. We say not your keys, not your coins.
So if you need to cash out some money from your Bitcoin, how do you go about that? That's a complicated business.
No. So I've got an app on my phone where I keep some, it's called you get a cold wallet and you get a hot wallet. A cold wallet looks like a USB stick.
Yeah.
It's made to store your Bitcoin, nothing else. So majority of my savings is there.
Right.
But then I have a hot wallet on my phone, which I can access right now. Just take a few grand off of there. Put it in Luno, for example, sell it on there, send it to my bank. I can do that within a day.
And then, of course, that's where the fucking government
gets involved. Like, I have to withdraw. Like, I have to start thinking.
You have to pay tax on that.
You have to pay tax on that. But I need to build myself a pizza oven now. So I'm looking.
You know how I knew that it is time for us to move beyond governments? Is when someone told me that they tax the chicks on OnlyFans. When someone told me that, I was like, you know, for government to figure it out, I mean, OnlyFans is still a relatively new idea, right? In the span of human history, it's, a couple of years old.
No, the oldest profession.
Well, yeah, sure. but they figured out how to tax. They still haven't figured out how to tax hookers on the street because that's cash.
Yeah.
But they figured out how to nail girls who take off their clothes on OnlyFans. And I was like, you sons of bitches.
How much tax do you think the woman, what was like 46 million or something she made in a...
I know which one you mean.
I wonder how much tax she paid. Probably, because I know you get nailed.
I don't know. It depends which country she's in.
I just want to point out something there. Vyasan, he put up a comment.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say...
Yeah, go to Vyasan's comment again.
Chat, I miss you guys. I wore something just for you.
Okay, he says Solana and Ripple made me some good returns.
Just for the chats.
You're wearing Crocs.
It's a little bit dirty, but that's my cleanest pair I've got.
That's embarrassing.
Hey, like I'm a chef. Okay, so you said Solana and Ripple made me some good returns, putting all in Bitcoin. Now, I want you to understand what Solana and Ripple is. It's remakes of Bitcoin. Bitcoin was the first one, but now Solana specifically. Trump coin, Melania coin. All these recent meme coins, they are all based on top of Solana. So now you have to buy Solana to invest in one of these coins, to buy these coins. So now you're buying a Ponzi on top of a Ponzi. It's very dangerous. So that's a very, like what Vyasan is saying there, it's a very, very, very good choice that, because in the end, like my favorite thing to do is just go onto Google and type in Bitcoin to Rand, Bitcoin to dollar, Bitcoin to Solana, whatever. And then go on the graph, push the max, like you get 1 year, 5 year, max, whatever choice. Just choose the max option and then see. It's just like a red line, 99% down.
Okay.
That's on the rand, the dollar even. It's scary. But then the other day, for the show, when I knew I'm coming on, I saw that. So for R1 or for $1, you get around 18 rands.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know what a Satoshi is?
Yes.
Okay. So for R1, you get 49 Satoshis.
Mm-hmm.
But that's going to start
switching.
That's going to switch very fast.
It's interesting to me, too. Like the people who've really done well here are the ones who've just held on and put more in when they had more to save. So it's not as if that's money that you can live off of. You must put it in there as an investment and just leave it alone. Like people used to do with unit trusts and cuck.
I don't even know what that is.
Like a unit trust was a thing that was set up either by the banks or a building society in the old days that would be a very safe, very, very...
talking about a safer version of a Stockfell.
Well, it's not even a Stockfell. I mean, it was kind of an investment, but a lot of it had to do with government bonds and bank securities and all the rest of it. So it was a much more simple. Back in the day, it was very complicated to people, but it was the safest bet you could make. But your returns were, you know, a couple of percent, 2 to 4 to perhaps 8 if you were lucky percent. And that was with no regard to what was going on with inflation.
Okay.
So I think that if people just consider that whatever you do with whatever you have in terms of crypto, that you're sensible about it and you just do it with, in the beginning, certainly for people who don't have a lot of money, it's got to be money that you are prepared to not have. You've got to put it in there and leave it alone.
So money you're prepared to save, because, like I'm talking about 500 rand. Start with 500 rand.
No, you don't need to go in with big money. Some people who put in 500 rand a couple of years ago have sat very pretty now.
It's if you have a high time preference, you want the money now. If you have a low time preference, you save for 5 years.
And absolutely.
For Bitcoin specifically, you need at least 5 to 7 years to actually start seeing a return. I want to say something about inflation. You mentioned inflation.
Sure.
So with American inflation, now we, South Africa's like on the dollar standard, if you're going to say that. Like, it's very bad because if inflation, if you don't make at least 14%, like your money, if it doesn't grow 14% a year, you're losing money because of American inflation. They've printed so much money in the recent years. They've printed around 80%. Of the US dollar supply from, I want to say, the end of Trump's last era through the whole Biden era, because Trump gave out some stimulus checks.
Yes.
And there's a Bitcoin tracker that you can do to check how much worth the stimulus check is today if you put it in Bitcoin back then, and it's
significantly
high.
All right. So, I mean, we're talking to Bitcoin Butch. He's our co-host this morning and hanging out with him. He's always very lively in the comments section too. And I love that. I mean, it must be fun to actually...
My dad says I'm talking too much cuck.
No, it's fine. Just ignore him. If he's not listening...
He's watching.
He must be watching. If he's not... well, he doesn't join the comment section, so I don't need to know what he thinks. If you want to comment, you obviously can join all these people. It's very easy to do. Just go into YouTube, and you've been following us for a while now, so you kind of know the gig. What do you want to ask me? Because when people come here and they're regulars,
I'm putting me on the spot.
Yeah. What do you want to know? I mean, like you're kind of getting to see some of the behind the scenes stuff this morning.
Yeah, there's nothing. Yeah, I thought there was something behind
all,
me.
Man.
And no, it's only nothing. A green screen. You guys fooled us.
We are changing it again. There are all kinds of things. You know, you've got to constantly improve and revise these things. And people don't understand. They're like, well, we'll just get a set like Jimmy Fallon does and keep it for the next 10 years. You can't do that.
No.
And you know, we want to keep upping the game. Uh-huh. We want to keep on bringing on interesting guests. I just feel like everybody is now doing what we started doing all those years ago with like interviewing people. And doing the long form stuff. And some people are, the only thing we're doing that I don't think anybody else is still doing, certainly not large numbers of people, is the live stuff.
Yes.
And that's where the comment section comes in. You know, it gives us a special edge that nobody else has.
I must say, so first I want to ask, is there anybody that's coming on that you had on last year?
If you know about. Yeah, there might be. I mean, we've had some pretty big names in the last couple of months. And I certainly want to get some more of those people. If someone was a proper hit, then you want them back.
Well, this is my hint throwing
that. Who do you want?
You missed so much fun in the comment section with Auntie Ruda.
Oh, Ruda Landman. I knew it.
The comment section was fire.
I was talking to Ben about her because he thought that was a hilarious show as well. And we had a lot of fun because Ruda, like, lost. Ruda obviously was still in the 2016 state of mind, right? Okay, when she came on here on the show and started like getting all iffy with me about doing accents, for example,
yes,
which is really a 2016 issue. You remember that, guys? Yeah. And she's like, don't do that. That's very disrespectful. And when you are mocking people like that, it is very mean. Like I'm mocking her right now. And she just didn't get it. She didn't get that this wasn't a news show and that I don't take anything seriously and she's not in carte blanche and you can just chill, like come in and have fun. Mm. Don't worry about it.
Yes.
And I think we rescued it because at the end of the show, she was like, she was a bit like deer in the headlights about it because I think that she'd found this was not a warm, receptive environment for her to chastise anybody. But I know I could see you guys, and I was also just trying to manage what was going on in the studio, which was hilarious.
You couldn't read that comments out.
And Ben was like, he was shook, ready. No, he was ready to burst into a fit of laughter almost every 5 seconds. It was really, really cool. I love the fact that that stuff can happen, and that can only happen live because in a recording, someone like that will say to you, no, can't we cut that out afterwards? And you kind of have to give them the right to do that. I'll never put stuff out that makes people deliberately goes out of its way to embarrass them. I mean, that would be shitty.
Do you think she'll come on again?
Oh, I'll invite her. Listen, okay. I've known Ruda, not like personally. I've never like had dinner with her or anything. She's got a brilliant, brilliant husband, Professor Landman, who's a, I think he's at Stellenbosch. He's in politics and economics. And she's a smart woman, but she's a serious person.
She's a tunny,
but she's a serious person. You know, you and I can talk shit and we can laugh about things and we can also be serious about the things you care about, bread and Bitcoin and all that stuff. But Ruda's only serious about the things she cares about.
Okay.
And I don't know that she has ever in her life taken off all of her clothes and jumped in a like dam next to the road or anything like that. I don't think that's ever happened, right? I think she's a serious person almost 100% of the time.
Yeah, okay.
Which takes all kinds of people.
I've got an auntie like that. So.
Yeah, dude, there's still lots of tunnies all over South Africa who are very, very much like that.
It's just like this accent thing that she got upset about. I feel that's a South African thing. Like to do these accents.
Oh,
like,
please. Our comedians, most of them cut their teeth doing that stuff in the 90s and 2000s. Uh-huh. And it was still funny. There wasn't a person in the country who couldn't do a Madiba accent at some point, right? You remember? Everyone did one.
Yes. The Dons.
And a de Klerk and I mean, everybody had like a whole bunch of accents that they would do because that's part of our character. If you don't do the sound that person makes, because we have all these official languages, we have all these characters in the country, it's not like you're mocking them. It's crazy what she was thinking. That's a very old school way to think or a very woke way to think, but they're the same. They're both out of touch.
What's the Nigerian sound?
Or? Or something like that. So I went on this show on CakeNet on Monday night on the same issue you bring up now with Ruda. So I went on, it's a show called In Gesprek with Lorenza Eckhart. Okay. She's great. So the only reason I agreed to do the show is because she's really cool. Because I hate doing other people's TV shows. You know this. So I go on the show and there's a guy called Piet Krookamp.
Okay.
He wears like a duck on his head and everything. And he's also an academic. He's quite a serious guy. He's got a sense of humor, but he's quite like combative.
Okay.
So I'm standing in the waiting room, the green room at this show. And I'm about to go on with a guy called Jaco Kleinanses with Solidariteit.
Okay. Yes.
And Dirk Herman and all those guys at AfriForum.
Yes, yes, yes.
So Yaku's busy talking to me and Piet Krookamp comes over and we're talking about Donald Trump because this is a Monday night. So it's the night of the inauguration. I've just listened to the speech on the car on the way there. And Piet starts like arguing and he says, but did you hear how rude Trump was in his speech? At the inauguration, the man has just no dignity. He's just a foul, dirty, horrible piece of shit. And I said to him, Biden deserved all of that. And he says, you are the problem. And he starts like having a full go at me, like shouting, like, and at Yaku. So Yaku says to him, well, let me explain why you're wrong. And he doesn't listen. He's not interested. And now, I mean, I don't mind this at all because I'm so used to having arguments with people and I enjoy an argument.
Yes.
But everyone else, you could see everyone else in the room is getting very, very uncomfortable, including Pieter Groenewald from the Vryheidsfront Plus, who's the Minister of Correctional Services, as he is at the moment.
Oh, nice.
And they're all trying to like get involved to calm it down. And I want it to get more insane and intense. And by the end of it, Pete walks past me on his way out and he goes, yo, we must get together sometime. And I go, yeah, that'll be fun. And we get on with our day and I go on the show after him. But I love those interactions. That makes life interesting. We don't have to be enemies just because we disagree. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much you and I might disagree about. I mean, I could bring up any number of subjects on the show and you'd go, no, you're full of shit.
Yes.
And that's cool, right?
Yes.
This is a place we want to have those conversations.
I feel people learn more in heated conversations. They might not take it all in there, but something switches. Like a calm conversation, not everybody's going to pay attention.
Well, very few people can keep calm in a conversation where they have huge disagreements.
Well, they don't want to be wrong. Like I had this incident with my neighbor yesterday. It's a nice lady.
Tell me what happened.
So basically, I brought up Trump. I love Trump. Yeah.
Yeah,
Trump
go is, for it. Trump you can cool. say it now. It's okay.
What he did with Melania and Trump thing was
70% approval ratings at the moment.
I don't know how this came up, but we brought up the only two gender thing. And then she's like, no, but that's wrong. What he's doing, he's alienating people. And I'm like, listen, there is only two genders. No matter what you say, there's only two. Because if you've got male, and like I told her this, if you've got male anatomy, I like spoke to her like this because she wasn't getting the point because she has TDS. So I told her, if you've got a male anatomy, can you go to the gynecologist and get your vagina checked? No. If you've got female anatomy,
this is an argument you're having with your neighbor.
Yeah, because I couldn't
change
her mind.
Is this over the wall or
no.
In the driveway?
In her driveway, yeah. And I told her, if you've got female anatomy.
Don't you love the fact that because something is happening in an executive order in America, it's like, this is the conversation neighbor's driveway. It's great. I love it.
So I told her, if you've got female anatomy, can you go to the doctor and get your prostate checked?
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about.
What was her argument?
Then she brought up, but you've got two gay friends. Like, what about them? I'm like, I say nothing about the gays. I don't care if they're gay.
That's got nothing to do with it.
That's got nothing to do with it.
What's going on with their equipment?
Then I told her, because now she's almost there, but she's not there yet. Now I wanted to shock her. So I told her, like, if you are a male and you want to take your penis, slice it in half and push it in, that's a mental illness.
Yeah.
If you're a female and you want to cut off a big piece of arm to make a tube to represent a penis,
yeah,
there's something wrong with you. You need to go to a mental institution.
Yeah.
Then she started getting it. She's
now you're being horrible. So by the way, the words, this is so great. The words in the executive order were men pretending to be women or women pretending to be men, which
that's
is like, I know, but it's super insulting, right? To those people who are in the gender.
She brought up Caster Semenya.
In the trans, what do they call it? The trans activist movement, right? Mm-hmm. Those people, they don't think it's pretending. So it's Trump's big middle finger.
Yes.
To all of them, right?
Yes. That's a big middle finger to the whole establishment.
It's so funny. It's also a return to common sense for some people. And I think that will make many people laugh. Sango says, wow, they always teach us new things. Ooh, Gareth, you're problematic, says somebody else here, that Don Kitty. Then Matthew says, honk, honk, honk. That's obviously
I love honk, honk, honk.
Yeah, that was Willy Madisha in Parliament. Talking to Naledi Pandor.
Come here with your hong, 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 hong.
I suppose some things are to be taken seriously, says Dave. Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, I think everything can be funny or can be serious, depending on your point of view and your mood that day. Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking with Leanne on Monday about like laughing at funerals, which is for some people, it's a coping mechanism. Nothing wrong with that. It would be interesting to invite Devi on the show. Well, yes, we had Devi on the show once before. Who else do you want to see? Yeah, I mean, you guys tell me what to do.
I'd like Devi on the show. Another thing that I think you need to get on the show is there's an X account that I've been following. They're called View4U. Have you seen them? Have you seen them? Oh, man. You pay them, yeah, and they go inspect cars and houses for you. But like when I say inspect, I mean like inspect.
Oh, wow. So these guys would go before you buy a car or a house and check it out for you. Mm-hmm. South African guys?
South African company. They just partnered with a big bank. That's in
fantastic.
That's in this industry of buying and selling cars. So they can save you. They save you a lot of money. Devi had a show about them recently.
I'll tell you what happened to a mate of mine. He bought his first house. He and his girlfriend are moving in there. And he only discovered afterwards that the roof in the one part of the house was a complete disaster. It's going to cost him like 50 grand more to fix that. And because the house was sold footsteps to him, mm-hmm, you know how that works, you don't get to complain afterwards. You can't go back to the seller and now say, oh, you've got to fix this for him. So, I mean, that's the kind of thing that'll happen if you don't inspect these places mm-hmm properly. That's
now,
very cool.
Now imagine that he could, like, if he knew about these people and if he chose to take their services, maybe $5,000 you pay, they go to the house, they inspect it to the T.
And that's a winner, and,
yes,
right?
Yes, I had, this one's nice. Shut up.
Yeah, the Jason Taylor, shut up. That was when that turned, who's the guy? Cameron. Ian Cameron.
Yes,
that
Ian
turned
Cameron,
Ian Cameron into a hero.
Yeah.
See, these guys don't realize, like, it takes one moment mm-hmm in your career for either things to go absolutely to shit or for them to make you internationally famous. Mm-hmm. And you can, along the way, create fame for other people.
Look at Jacob Zuma. He's famous for a lot of stuff, but my favorite one is like...
I wonder what he's famous for. Jacob Zuma.
Listen properly.
So listen properly. Yeah, I mean, everyone in the world knows thing too. I'd love Congo Chris on the show, says Matthew.
Yes, please.
We'll try and do that. Vusi Tembekwayo will be an interesting interview. Well, I've interviewed Vusi a couple of times. He is always interesting and also doesn't hold back.
Have you had like people...
We've got our disagreements, by the way.
Any music bands...
You know, not for a while.
Yeah.
The truth is, it's so funny. Like, since I stopped doing music radio, which is what, 10 years ago now,
yes,
I don't talk to a lot of musicians as much because I used to interview them all the time. So I knew these guys years ago. If you ask me who's new and who's around, I honestly can't tell you.
Okay.
Like, I saw this kid, Will Lindley, at a corporate event that I had to MC a while ago. I had no idea who he was. And then I suddenly realized, no, he was the guy who I saw before at this big concert at FNB the other day, before Keen. He was the opening act for them.
Okay.
And he's damn good, right? But I had no idea who this dude was.
Yes.
There's still names that will come up that I do know. I see Matthew Mole around from time to time. There are a lot of the DJs who I still know quite well. But I mean, who would you want? Who would you want in?
Get Rassie in.
Rassie Erasmus.
Rassie Erasmus. Get Rassie in.
Okay, all right.
Yes.
I'm not going to talk rugby to him. You know?
No, but he's fun. He won't talk rugby to you.
All right, then that's good.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, maybe he'll talk a little bit of rugby, but he's still got stuff to say.
Good idea.
Mm.
All right. By the way, Sugar Shabalala says, since November 2024, I've made plus minus 50K from the advice I took from Bitcoin Boots.
Yes.
There we go. But
there you go.
But he's not offering you advice. All right.
This is not financial advice. It's...
Smart
advice.
Why can't we see the comments if we watch the recorded show? We'd be lucky check that out if you may. They are there. They're in the but we can't make them come up.
No, they do come up. If you go onto YouTube
and it's a
recorded show, just press the comment section and they update. Like, as the minutes go past, they update. That's how mine works.
Maybe, hey?
Yeah.
Lee says, I don't give a flying fuck what you identify as. Just because I identify as an astronaut doesn't mean I am one.
Listen, be what you want to be, but leave the children out of it.
So just show everybody this quickly. Here's Trump, and this has to do with the show as well. Part of Trump's pardon to start his regime is that he's forcing every man in America to get a podcast mic so they can start their own podcasts. Because, of course, we know that the podcasts had a huge impact on his election, and Rogan was there at the inauguration, among others. Trump signs executive order to provide all men with podcast mics, which of course we know is essential.
That must be like what's that, Babylon B or something like that, that fake that, you know,
I
they
do
make,
love
like,
it though. Yeah. And then this is also good. Did you see some of the people at the inauguration? Crooked Hillary was there.
Yes, she wasn't very happy.
She did not have
she had a
time.
Fake smile on, if I can say that.
Big Mike didn't even go.
Big Mike didn't even go, yeah.
Michelle Obama, she didn't even go.
Barack.
No,
has to walk
Barack
himself.
Had to walk on his own. Yeah. He also didn't look like he was having a happy time. Mm-hmm. But George W. Bush looked like he was doing mushrooms or edibles.
He looked like he enjoyed it.
No, look at him.
He was after Elon, he was the guy that enjoyed it the most.
I'm going to have one of these in the meantime.
I love that.
Listen, you know, those Kamala, the front row there on the which side
was
it?
She
they
was
were
miserable.
They didn't even clap or stand up.
Well, they didn't have to. I mean, I don't think Trump. I don't think Trump was nice to them, and he didn't have to be either.
No, he doesn't have to be nice.
But these people, they've lost everything. There's no one. There's no one to lead the Democrats going forward.
No.
They don't stand for anything.
Well, they've got that guy.
They don't even have any energy left in their protesters. There were people being interviewed on the street as part of some march against Trump, about 10 of them, and they were like, well, we don't like him because he's disorganized or so. Like, is that all you guys have got? That's all they've got now. Mm-hmm. They've got nothing left. It's
I wonder
terrible.
If they'll change their minds in a little bit.
All right, we're going to take a look at the window seat quickly. I don't know if they'll change their minds, to be honest. I don't think they will. I think there'll be a lot of people in places like California who will say, look how badly this place has been run now for decades. Mm. We need to change gear. So that might happen, but I don't know.
Hope.
So I want to talk to Maria Watkins, who's the general manager at travel.co.za Leisure. And Maria is on the line. Hey, Maria, how's it?
How's it, guys?
Nice to see you, and I'm glad that you could join us this morning. So there's a lot to talk about. 2025 is here, a brand new year, and people are thinking about travel. Maybe they've got the Bitcoin, like Bitcoin put over here, that they want to cash out and turn into an experience. And he's traveled. He's been on cruise ships, and he's been in America and probably some other cool places. But what do things look like for 2025? It's always good at the beginning of the year to get an idea of the trends. So you would be the right person at travel.co.za to talk to about this. What is 2025 shaping up to be?
Morning, everyone. So 2025 is looking fantastic for us in travel. I must be honest. Mm-hmm. January is one of our busiest months because everyone's been on a holiday in December and they're planning the very next one. So January is a great month for us in leisure. I think this year, Gareth, we're looking at experiences. People are looking for something a little bit different. So your normal destinations, your Mauritius, your Thailand, your Maldives, they're still very popular, but they're looking at doing it a little bit differently. Villas are a up-and-coming trend in Mauritius, so everyone's done the resorts. They're looking to try out the villa experience.
So hold on, because I don't know about this. What is the villa experience? I would imagine this is where you or a group of friends, family or whatever, decide to go and book a villa, and then you stay there rather than in a resort. And how does that differ?
Correct. So the way it differs is you're not confined to a resort where you're chasing meal after meal. If you've ever been to Mauritius, yeah, where it's about waking up, your breakfast, you roll onto the beach, you roll back into the restaurant, roll back onto the beach. You can choose to have your meals catered for. You could choose to have a butler preparing your meals for you in the villa, but you choose when you want to eat. Breakfast isn't served between this time and this time. You can, you know, most people hire their own car, explore the island a little bit more as opposed to being confined to a resort. It's that flexibility, a little bit more affordability, and they'll cater for your every need. You have a host online 24/7, so if you're missing something or need something, they'll go to the shops for you. If you want, you can go to the shops yourself.
Okay, I like the sound of this.
So yeah, a little bit more flexible.
Okay, is it also more expensive? Because I wouldn't know where to start with something like this. And it sounds like when you've got butlers and things, it would be, right?
Sounds like money.
It depends what you take. You can choose not to have the butler. It'll cost you a little bit less. But no, it's actually a very affordable. So the same way you find resorts that, you know, cater from anything to 3-star, 5-star,
yeah.
Same with the villas. You can do it, you know, quite simple and affordable.
Right.
But, yeah, it's actually a whole different experience.
I just want to go back to something you started with at the beginning, and then that people are busy in January in the travel world. And they're busy planning stuff. You know, I suppose that makes sense to me because a lot of people, travel is a major thing. It's a big part of their life. It's what they work for. This is what I want to do with my year. I want to plan these trips to these places. So I suppose this is the right time to make those calls, right?
So you're sitting on your holiday in December and, you know, a lot of people get their bonuses in December. You've already paid for the holiday you're on now. Mm. So you get inspired because you realize how lucky it is to be on holiday. And you start to plan and book your next one as soon as you're back. You want to secure the good deals. So if you're booking in advance, you're going to get those good price deals. So, yeah, January is a busy month for us in travel.
So I know you've just recently returned from Vietnam, and it's so funny. I was talking to someone over the holidays who's also just been to Vietnam, had a wonderful time. Tell us about that.
It's an incredible, incredible destination. Before I tell you about Vietnam, I need to tell you about my experience getting to Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
2-day delay, uh-oh. Flight canceled twice.
Oh, no.
I've traveled for many, many years. I have never experienced anything like it. Plane went technical, so you don't want to be on a technical flight, but you do want to get onto your holiday. And literally, flight got canceled once. Flight got cancelled twice.
Oh no!
And what I wanted to share with you is just sitting there and witnessing it's a massive plane you're traveling on, witnessing how people handled the news of you're not leaving. You have another delay. Flight is cancelled again.
Oh,
you could
man.
Very quickly see those that had used a travel agent to help them organize their trip because it was one phone call or one email.
Yeah.
And you could see the people that had tried to put this all together themselves. There was a bit of chaos. Because, so, you know, if you've booked and there's nobody to contact, if you don't arrive at your hotel, they're going to assume you're not coming and possibly give you a room away. If you don't pick up that car you hired and nobody knows you're not arriving, that car's going to get re-rented out to somebody else. So it was interesting to see. I actually said to my husband, just look around you. You can see exactly who's used an agency and exactly who tried to do it on their own, but so be it. We all figured it out together. By the time we got onto the plane, you feel like you're traveling with your friends and family because you've spent 2 days at the airport with absolute strangers that suddenly you know names, you know faces. Vietnam is an incredible, incredible country to visit. I've been there before with my husband, but it was a first-time experience for my daughters, and it was beautiful to actually watch them experience the Far East. First time in the Far East with them. We had limited time.
Beautiful.
So that's
look at that
Ben
picture
that you've just brought up there. UNESCO World Heritage Site. We limited our trip to just Hanoi and Ha Long Bay. Ha Long Bay as well, UNESCO World Heritage Site. It is absolutely the most beautiful, mystical place to be on the water. And, you know, they still have functioning villages of 90, 95 people that live on the water, choose not to live on the land, choose not to, you know, have all the fancies of the world. They're very humble people in Vietnam. And, you know, visiting somewhere like Hanoi, where if you're watching TikTok and if you're watching Instagram and all of that, all you see is those bikes and the bikes just go and go and go. And it's so vibrant. But it's also all about the sounds, the tastes, the smells, the people. There's just such an energy running through that city any time of the day. And I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Train Street in Vietnam. But literally the street is just big enough for a train to run through. And you're sitting on the edge where you see those chairs.
Yeah.
And a minute before the train comes, this little guy comes running out with a whistle in his mouth, you know, just in his Vietnamese, telling everybody to get off the track because everybody's taking photos on the track. And this train literally comes past you. It literally just, you shouldn't breathe because it's that close. So that was one of our experiences. It was unbelievable to do.
So, Maria, I just want to ask you quickly, because Vietnam has always been, for people who do want to ride around on a bike, for example, I have two friends who did that years ago, and they had the most amazing time. And it seems that, you know, you go everywhere and anywhere on a bike there. You have to know what you're doing, obviously.
Anyway, yeah. It's the only way to go.
And they said that, you know, it's a very, like, easy place to get around in. Is that your experience too, once you're in Vietnam?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So whether you're on a bike or on foot, it's quite simple to move around. I like the way you say you need to know what you're doing on the bike. You need to know what you're doing on your feet as well. If you need to cross the street, you actually need to close your eyes and cross the street. And unbelievably so, those bikes just maneuver around you. We did use a destination management company to arrange our trip. So we had a tour guide, and you know, it was a great way to do it because they're able to share a lot of the history. They're able to take you to places you wouldn't necessarily know about. If Vietnam's very well known for their coffee, incredible coffee. Mm. We went to a really funky coffee shop called The Note Coffee, and all over the coffee shop are these little sticky notes. That's my beautiful daughter. And literally, you order your coffee, they give you a pad of sticky notes, you write your own notes, you paste them anywhere. And you can spend hours in there just reading what people have posted. And the beauty of it is there's no hate in those messages.
It's like a real life comment section.
not your comment section.
So Maria, Sharon says here, just don't drink any non-bottled alcohol in Vietnam. I don't know what she's warning
she's
about.
She's probably
there.
Right. I mean, if you go down Beer Street in Hanoi, my husband was offered all sorts of glasses of stuff. And he's like, what? And something. I'm like, do you know what's in there? So, yes, we didn't. We did not try anything that hadn't come out of a bottle.
Okay. So just quickly, affordability in terms of South Africans, because we're always worried our currencies, you know, not great at the moment. So what's Vietnam like cost-wise?
You feel like a millionaire, Gareth. We count in hundreds, they count in millions.
Awesome. Good. A country that's poorer than us. Yes, I love a country that's
what's
poorer than us.
What's the exchange rate like?
That's great.
So you shop like a millionaire, literally.
Okay.
But jokes aside, I mean, we're a family of five. To go out for just a normal dinner here, an easy 2,000 rand just to feed our family. Over there, it was costing us 1,000 or less.
Sure.
And for the most incredible, tasteful food, they do a lot of the fried stuff, but they do a lot of the fresh spring rolls and the fresh stir fries. And, you know, you start your morning off with a clear noodle soup. Don't pronounce it correctly. It's pho or pho, but it was absolutely delicious. But really a very affordable destination. I think getting there, obviously your airfare is going to cost you slightly more, but you can have the most incredible holiday at a very reasonable cost. I mean, I would love to go back. We did the north. I'd love to go back and do more of the south. But a really interesting, vibrant destination. And I mean, we absolutely loved it. My children are still talking about that. And it's just,
I just want to correct Sharon here. She's just throwing in some more info. She said that there are apparently a couple of methanol poisoning incidents. That's why she said don't drink things that aren't from a bottle, because you never know. Apparently 8 people were dead and 2 South Africans were among them.
Sure.
So look, but you wouldn't do that in any country. Don't be an idiot.
No.
Someone gives you something.
Yeah, you got to be savvy.
I mean,
absolutely.
Really.
Absolutely. It can happen anywhere.
Correct. But I love this. And Vietnam does sound amazing. I've only heard good things. And those pictures you showed us are superb. So thank you very much, Maria. And just by the way, before we say goodbye to you, being stranded like you were for 2 days, you obviously just didn't leave South Africa. So you went back home or whatever. But if you don't have a travel agent, like you said, you have to get someone else to sort out all of that stuff, or you have to try and do it yourself. Mm. And most people would what? Just give up and then lose the money.
Mm. Yeah. So I think to mention, Gareth, the airline was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. First day they did notify us, we stayed at home. Second day when they cancelled again, they actually put it up in hotels around the airport. We stayed at Emperor's Palace. I said to my husband, I'm not going home because then the holiday hasn't started.
Correct.
So we started our holiday at Emperor's Palace. They were very good. They gave us meal vouchers. We went out to an Asian restaurant so we could pretend we were in Asia. And
it's a good second best.
And furthermore, yes, it was the ongoing, you know, the arrival, letting your whoever's expecting you on the other side that you are not arriving and having someone just rearrange our entire itinerary was absolute bliss. So, but the, you know, the airline does try and help you while you're still here. And they were also great. I mean, they reimbursed any losses to passengers. So they were fantastic. Awesome. And it can happen on any airline.
Of course.
I've just never had it happen for 2 days.
Well, listen, it's good to have an expert on here to help us navigate the world of kind of getting your travel together, especially leisure travel now at the beginning of the year. So thank you very much. Maria Watkins is the general manager at travel.co.za in leisure. And we will no doubt speak to you again later this year. In the meantime, get in there and book travel.co.za, right, Maria?
I've got a question.
Oh, you want to hang on. We've got a question. Go.
Do you guys have any packages for Madagascar by any chance?
We do the world. So yeah, get in touch with us and we can help you out. Give you.
What do you want to go do?
We do everywhere. We do local. We do international.
What do you want to do in Madagascar?
My lady wants to get some fresh vanilla pods and see the lemurs. So I'm sending out. I'm looking like if I wait a few months, I can at least put like 70k into that trip.
That's doable.
70k will get you a great holiday.
Yeah.
But it's rustic, eh? It's rustic.
I don't care. I've been around the world. I like it.
Rustic, so yeah.
Awesome. Good stuff, Maria. Thank you very much, and we'll catch up with you soon. Bitcoin Boots awesome. In the studio
thank
with
you
me.
Guys.
Thank you. That's the window seat with travel.co.za. Don't forget to go and check them out to make your dream a reality. I mean, you don't have to remember much. Travel.co.za. Mm. It's the most obvious thing in the world. Madagascar does sound quite cool.
Well, the reason I asked that question is because
they farm vanilla there.
They farm vanilla there, and I think maybe in Mauritius.
Yeah.
But the reason Madagascar is because it's untraveled. They don't even have English signs and stuff.
That's right.
So you need a travel companion or a guide.
You know who used to have a vanilla farm? Used to own a vanilla farm. You'll never guess. Nathaniel.
Oh, wow.
You know Nathaniel, the Afrikaans entertainer?
Yeah,
Nathaniel had the vanilla farm. No, he did.
What happened? Like, that's money.
Maybe he still has it.
That's
I don't know.
Money.
Maybe he still has it.
Like a little one vanilla pod in the shop. I don't even know if it was Woolies, but it was like $50 for one pod.
And you want to get the freshest, best ones from source.
Yes. Like, and then you can bring back a packet and...
Uh-huh. So you and your girlfriend are both big into cooking and...
No, I'm the cooking one. She does curries. She does very nice curries.
What does she want the vanilla for?
I don't know. I don't know. I cook more with it than she does.
I do love that smell, though. That's one of the best smells. They actually say vanilla's probably universally the most liked smell by human beings. Ooh. All right. When we come back, we will talk to South Africa's most famous Greek singer, and I've known him for a little while. He messaged me over the holidays. He's like, hey, Ella, why you not have me on the podcast? Eh? So we're going to talk to Nico Tamaidis, and he'll be joining us in a short while. Bitcoin Boots still here.
Okay.
You can just give us 2 seconds, and we'll be right back.